Picture Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google, standing in a corporate bathroom. Not in a boardroom, not at a podium, just there. For Chad Sanders, this mundane encounter shattered everything. The mythology dissolved. Google wasn't built by gods, just people who refused to stop pushing. That bathroom moment planted a seed that would grow into something profound. A journey away from corporate performance and toward a radical idea. What if the very experiences that wound Black Americans also forge something extraordinary? What if survival itself is a form of genius? This isn't another bootstrap story. It's something far more complex and honest. As racial justice conversations exploded in 2020, Sanders offered a framework that transcended simple narratives of resilience. He interviewed over 200 Black professionals, Fortune 500 executives, Grammy winners, pioneering scientists, and discovered a pattern. They possessed abilities invisible to those who didn't share their experience, like infrared light only certain eyes can see. Skills forged not despite racial trauma, but through it. The concept resonated so deeply that Spike Lee himself mentored Sanders through Hollywood pitches, recognizing truth when he saw it. This is the story of Black magic, not supernatural, but powerfully, practically real. At Google, Sanders performed exhausting theater swapping, comfortable clothes for business casual, forcing bro-y speech, distancing himself from Black friends and culture. The facade drained his energy and undermined his work. Then he stopped pretending. He brought his whole self, shaped by animated family dinners, barbershop debates, and Black church oratory. His manager noticed immediately, "You're making magic." Clients gravitated toward him. Senior leadership sought his input. This transformation reveals Black magic's core, unique capabilities developed through navigating racial trauma and triumph. Not supernatural powers, but practical tools forged through necessity, heightened emotional intelligence, code-switching fluency, rapid situation assessment, acute body language reading. Sanders launched European operations for a tech startup despite zero international experience, leveraging his ability to read rooms and build authentic connections across differences. Interviewing hundreds of Black professionals, Sanders found a pattern. They'd developed similar capabilities, but rarely articulated them as advantages. This reframing shifts the narrative from merely surviving racism to recognizing how survival tools create advantages, where reading people, navigating politics, and building authentic connections prove crucial. Black magic often begins at home, where parents prepare children for a world that judges them differently. When Sanders' family moved to a predominantly white neighborhood, his father's rules were explicit. Protect your freedom, no headwear in cars, drive below speed limits, show deference to police. His mother ran family dinners like corporate boardrooms, teaching business strategy with brutal clarity. Stay close to the money, understand your capitalist value, build relationships for leverage, make your boss look good, never cry at work. Ed Bailey experienced three major separations, from extended family, neighborhood kids, and school peers due to parental restrictions, teaching him to connect across fundamental differences. Jason Crane's dual family background similarly prepared him for navigating different worlds. Throughout his Google career, he initially hid his Blackness, only expressing himself fully in Black Googler network meetings. After selling his startup to Amazon, he embraced his cultural identity, recognizing the value in my Blackness and that perspective. These early lessons create a double-edged sword. Black professionals develop heightened awareness and adaptability, but at significant mental cost. Bailey estimates spending 40 to 95% of his mental energy managing different personas, resulting in depression, anxiety, and PTSD. The training that creates advantage also extracts a toll few outside the experience fully understand. Education becomes a critical battleground for navigating predominantly white spaces. When Sanders tested into Montgomery County's Gifted and Talented track in first grade, he joined countless Black students thrust into selective programs, forcing them to develop sophisticated social navigation skills years before their peers. DeRay McKesson's racial awakening came in sixth grade when a white teacher's mathematical error shattered the narrative of white infallibility. He observed stark racial stratification. Black students overwhelmingly landed in standard courses, while he often sat alone as the only Black student in AP classes. These daily experiences became lessons in resilience and self-advocacy that shaped his future activism. The concept of shape-shifting emerges as a crucial survival skill. Grayson Brown meticulously adopted white cultural markers at predominantly white private schools, speech patterns, clothing choices, social behaviors. As the first Black president of a white fraternity, he seemed to achieve ultimate validation until a fraternity brother used a racial slur, shattering the illusion completely. His transfer to Morehouse brought freedom to be fully Black while maintaining individual characteristics, shaping his current philosophy as a CFO. I am only willing to expose myself to people who I believe have a bias beyond my charm to not harm me. The workplace presents the most challenging arena for deploying Black magic. At Google, Sanders performed being googly, smiling big, raising his voice, using bro, laughing at everything. When his interviewer confused Morehouse's location and awkwardly probed his HBCU experience, Sanders kept answers pleasant and unthreatening. This performance code, switching, exacts what Jewel Burke Solomon calls a double tax. At Goldman Sachs, she filtered her natural speech after being mocked for saying "right quick." She estimates over 50% of her mental energy went to monitoring presentation rather than actual work. Shelley Stewart III, one of the 1% of Black partners at McKinsey in North America, offers strategy: consistently shatter the soft bigotry of low expectations. Being one of few Black people makes you memorable, creating natural networking opportunities. For Andrea Dre Taylor Lindsay, very fair skin adds complexity. My entire life, I've been working to explain to people that I'm Black. The N-word reveals boundaries in supposedly progressive workplaces. Sanders' friendship with Brett, a woke white colleague, ended when Brett casually used the word discussing a Jay-Z song. When Sanders objected, Brett demanded explanation, exposing the disconnect even in close interracial relationships. When Sanders left Google for a tech startup with no ownership stake, his $2,000 payout after acquisition, while founders made millions, pushed him toward creating something of his own. Broke in expensive New York with no industry connections, he discovered isolation became creative fuel. My year of being broke in New York taught me that living lean could push me to leverage my innate resources, creativity, relationships, and independent thinking. This resourcefulness appears repeatedly in Black entrepreneurial stories. Quincy Avery, now the world's top quarterback trainer with clients like Patrick Mahomes, once lived in his car while building his business. With Black families' median wealth at $4,900 compared to white families' $97,000 in 2010, many developed inventive survival skills early, selling burned CDs, creating custom t-shirts, working odd jobs. When Spike Lee helped pitch Sanders' TV show, networks rejected it with vague emails suggesting it was merely Silicon Valley for Black people. Only BET immediately understood without comparison, offering to buy it the next day. This led to profound realization. What I'd seen as the back door to the industry was actually the Black door, and the Black door had been great to me my whole life. Black magic isn't about God or religion. It's about belief itself. When we stop believing in our ability to transcend painful circumstances using skills learned through generations of suffering, we become truly hopeless. Sanders needs just a glimmer of hope to keep going. If I believe Black magic doesn't exist, then racism becomes insurmountable and my dreams unattainable, he explains. But if I believe that surviving Blackness has equipped me with special abilities, presence of mind, empathy, independent thinking, conviction, comfort in isolation, work ethic, resourcefulness, bravery, focus, leadership, perseverance, community, detachment, charisma, problem solving, and faith, then I have Black magic. And with Black magic comes hope. Elena Welteroth, former editor-in-chief at Teen Vogue, describes black magic as involuntary, a gift from our ancestors that doesn't require conscious awareness to access. By naming these capabilities collectively as black magic, Sanders provides language for what many black professionals have felt but struggled to articulate. This isn't about finding silver linings in racism. As Sanders notes, racism is literally killing us, but about recognizing unique capabilities forged through that experience.